Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Good evening, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon, and we've got Nate here in the studio.
Hello,
as always.
Hello, everybody.
Just the two of us doing our thing. So, we talk about games. For those who are new to the show, thank you for listening. I imagine if you're new, you're probably listening via podcast, not live.
Probably, yeah.
We have a lot of listeners in the podcast. I don't know how many we actually get locally.
We bounce around too much to get any consistency with local listeners, I think.
Andrew still refuses to give me the numbers.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I imagine we're probably the hottest thing on KFNX, though. If you're listening to that past show, whew.
We are the longest running show on KFNX.
You know what? I'm not sure if we are actually the longest, but we are definitely like in the top three or something.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, we're up there. So anyway, Chatterbox Video Game Radio, we're here every week. Go to chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about us. Basically, video game industry editorial show.
Pretty much, yeah.
And we like to start off the show by covering a couple things. First of all, what's going on lately? We are going to GDC very soon. 2 weeks from now, we're going to give you our post-GDC wrap-up show.
That's right.
Next week, Nate's actually...
Actually, I will be gone for the show. I'll be phoning in from San Jose.
Are you going to call in, or are you just going to bail?
I'll probably call in.
Probably.
If I think about it.
Unless I'm busy.
Yeah, unless something comes up.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
if a hotel party just happens to, like, spring up, maybe I'll go to that instead.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're always busy Sunday night at, like,
always busy.
8 p.m. in California.
That's right.
Okay, so that happens next week. Nate leaves, and then a few days later, I join him. And we enjoy ourselves at Game Developers Conference and learn about all the hot new stuff. In fact, there's going to be some PS3 announcement as well. That's the big thing people are talking about right now. That there's going to be big PlayStation 3 announcement.
Yeah,
and I think what they mean by that is it's a PlayStation 3 announcement.
Yeah,
not that it's going to be big.
It's not going to be big.
They're probably going to talk about like the online hub thing.
And that they still don't know when it's going to be released.
Yeah. I bet they don't give any solid info.
Yeah,
I'm really hoping Nintendo
has
something
to show. I'm sure they reveal nothing.
Them. Yeah. You know what? I don't even care anymore. I talked about it, how the Revolution is the only thing I'm really looking forward to.
Yep.
360, it's cool to have. You know,
it is.
If your power supply works.
Yeah, that's nice.
Give us a minute. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what happens soon in a couple weeks. Otherwise, there's not a whole lot of housekeeping going on. We got our show, no hockey, nothing taking us off the air, so we're good.
No basketball, surprising. I was for sure that was going to come in and just
take
swamp
us off the air.
Yeah.
No, we're good. So basically, we get right into it. What's coming up in the show? And this is what's going to happen. We got a couple good topics. Nate has been working feverishly all week. He has something he wants to cover.
Nose to the grindstone.
And I think
I might be
yelling at him a little bit when he does his bit. But the topic of the day for you?
Basically, just with all the, you know, like with the Gizmondos and the Phantoms and all these little, you know, wannabe new consoles and like handhelds. I just basically want to talk about, like, can any company really make it? You know, besides like the big three. You know, or the big two before the Xbox came out. And Genesis was gone.
Perfectly reasonable question, I say. You know, the Dreamcast came after the Genesis.
Did it?
Yeah. So did the Saturn.
Oh, that's right. I don't really count those because they were so bad.
What are you talking? The Dreamcast,
Listen, the Dreamcast was great.
We're going to get hate mail.
I own one. I love the system. I'm just saying it did very badly, selling-wise.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't really there.
So
we can talk about this later.
What do you think of the Saturn?
Saturn?
We can talk about this now.
All right, the Saturn, not so much. I didn't, like, besides Panzer Dragoon and, like, maybe that weird fish game, nothing too much.
Fish game was on Dreamcast. Dude.
Was that on the Dreamcast?
Yes.
I swore it was on the Saturn.
With the microphone and the white controller, you remember?
I remember that.
Yeah, Seaman.
Seaman, that's right.
Yeah, I've got it if you want to play.
Oh, you do? All right.
Of course.
Bring back some fond memories.
It's a weird game, I've got it.
Yeah, of yelling at my fish because he wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
He couldn't understand me.
So that's our topic for today from Nate. And I want to cover something we've talked about many, many times before, and probably, I assume, we'll talk about in the future. What makes a game good? And I think we're also going to cover what makes a game bad. And
that's important. A lot of stuff.
Yeah. Because I was reminded while playing a game today.
I think we were both pointing out some problems with a certain game, if you would like to...
Well, you came over today, as you do before every show.
That's right.
Came over to get ready for the show. And I was playing Black. Recently, a friend let me borrow Black because I still have yet to get my copy. But anyway, I was playing Black this afternoon, and I had some very, very high hopes for this game. Looked good, the preview that I saw at E3. And, you know, I'm sure there are good parts. But I gave it three rounds, or three levels. I don't know what they call them there in this game, but very well produced, as always. EA doesn't let that stuff fall through the cracks. But there wasn't much new going on in this game.
They said it was destructible, but it wasn't that destructible. And there was, like, some points where, okay, so there was, like, a lookout tower, and there was a bar or block of wood that you couldn't go under to get to the ladder and climb up and kill the guy.
Yeah, see, and I've come to at least accept, level restrictions, like invisible walls and stuff. I hate that, but at least I've come to accept it. And okay, as long as the part that I'm supposed to be on, like, as long as the world I'm supposed to be playing in is interesting enough, cool. And I'm going to go give it more time. I promise I'm going to give this game more time because I'm thinking back to the preview I saw at E3 and it was so cool, but first level was a little bit disappointing, and so were the second and third. It just didn't... This is why I'm going to talk about what makes the game good, because I want to sort of attack the issues I found with this game, and I going to give it more time because I think it's going to get better.
We can talk about Ghost Recon. We played that
We also played Ghost
Saturday.
Recon last night.
See, now, we did have some complaints when we first started playing it, but at the end, I actually enjoyed the game. Once you figured out how you play it and how it is, it's not like Black where you go guns blazing. This is really slow go.
It's the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, Ghost Recon, I think a lot of people would be upset at first because any game with a high learning curve, you're going to be upset. You don't know what's going
on. Yeah.
That's true of any game that is difficult to get into. Black doesn't fit into that category. It's get your gun, run and shoot things. So unless I'm missing something, and that's why it wasn't fun, right? But like I said, I definitely have to give this game more time. I believe in it, but so far it hasn't impressed me. And that was with 2 hours.
Yeah, I know. I definitely want to play Ghost Recon some more once I call 1-800 for my Xbox and figure out what the deal is with my power supply and when they're going to shoot me a new one or fix mine.
Nate hasn't had good luck with his 360.
I have not had good luck with my 360. And you know what? I talked about how I bought a remote and then it didn't work.
Yep.
I'm not sure if I talked about it on the show. But anyways, I bought a remote and it didn't work. And then I brought it over to your house, and apparently you have more power, or it likes your house better. But I purposely bought a new controller, thinking that, well, I'll just return the one that doesn't work, because I waited too long.
And, make sure you say that on air, okay?
Yeah, I'm not going to do it now.
Okay.
It's okay. But anyways, go over to your house, then it works. And the one that's broke also works.
Yeah.
So
my house is very friendly for console video
games.
It is. You bring a PC game over and nothing works. And you saw that today when you tried to run a game.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, I forget what game it is, but one of the independent game, they don't like, Radeon cards.
Yeah.
Aren't happy with those.
Right. Hey, Andrew, you listen to the show or you doing your numbers over there? How much time do we have left? I want to do some Doubles Ask Us Rodeo. We've got 4 minutes.
4 minutes.
All right. So I just jumped ahead a little bit. You'll remember from last week. The Adam Carolla inspired bit,
yep.
Ask Kiss Rodeo. I love it so much. I actually called the show, the Carolla show this week, because they were doing...
Did you try and get in?
Well, they did the Ask Kiss Rodeo Las Vegas trip thing. Well, not a trip, but like you go to Vegas and compete.
If you're able to get there.
And I called them, I was like, can I do it? But I didn't realize that I had to be in Vegas, so I didn't actually do it. So here, we're going to go and do some Devil's Ass Kiss. You're going to start it off, Nate.
Am I going to start it off?
Yeah, the ball's in your court.
You know what I really like, Alon? I really like Blizzard, the company.
You like Blizzard. You know, only a man with such refined tastes as yours, Nate, could appreciate the fantastic gaming that Blizzard puts out. Because not everyone can understand it, but you have full control over what comes out of Blizzard, and you understand that their games are fantastic. Now, I'm going to tell you something I don't like. I do not like those old Sierra-style adventure games. What about you?
Oh, I can totally understand why you don't like it. An intellectual Adonis like yourself, I can totally see not liking something like that. Because, with your refined taste and acuteness and, goodness, I can totally understand why you wouldn't like those games. I also don't like the 360 power supply.
The 360 power supply?
Yeah.
You know why you don't like it? Because they're crap. They're as big as a house. You can't fit them through the door. And when you do, they don't even work. You play no light, no orange light. You look at the FAQ online, they tell you how to get it to work. It's like, it's only the, if you're a dumb person, did you forget to plug it in? No. And who wants something like that? I can understand why you would not appreciate what's involved in a power supply for the 360. So, I'm going to switch, though, to tell you about something that I love. I'm a big fan of the Guy game, especially the Xbox Guy game.
A man with your taste and refinement and ability to pick out the best of the best can totally understand, like yourself, why the Guy game is just so brilliant. I guess I'm going to switch a little bit. I don't like Blizzard.
You don't like Blizzard?
I don't like Blizzard.
Of course you don't like Blizzard. That company, they have put out nothing but crap. I can't get into their games. I try playing. What do they make, those Warcraft games? Oh, man, you got to get 3, 4, 10 people together in a room to enjoy that. If you want to play online, you can never even talk to... I don't even know. Those games... Heroes? I don't want to do it. I'm not going to play those games because I prefer games not made by a company named after a snowstorm. That's what I think. Now, I love the old Atari 2600 joystick with a single button. I don't want to have to work too hard. What about you?
Of course I love that. And because you are able to, you know, find the diamond in the rough with that brilliant design setup, single, easy to use. I mean, it's the brilliantest thing ever, and I can totally understand why you would love it, because you are such a great guy. You know, it's just Adonis of man, godlike figure, could totally see why that is such a good thing. I really like Space Invaders, speaking of Atari.
Space Invaders, it's fantastic. The single-button joystick comes into play there. Very simple gameplay, addictive, old-school style. Of course you like it, because that game is wonderful, and you know how to choose wonderful games. Me, I like the Thesauri, so that we come up with different words when we play this game in the future. You're going to learn how to use the thesaurus, Nate?
Yes.
I think the game's over. We're going to go to break, everybody, and we will talk about what makes, well, if a portable system, or any portable system, you switched gears on me.
Yeah.
If hardware is possible these days from a company that's not named Nintendo or Microsoft.
Exactly.
Or Sony. We'll be back right after this.
All right.
Welcome to
you like
Chatterbox
that? With host. What are you doing? Why are you picking bad music, Andrew? Let's turn that off. I think the bumper music is going to... We're going to have to go back to the old bumper music, Andrew. What we did is we let him do things on his own, and I don't like that.
Right.
So I'm going to take control of the show from now on. We're going to remind everybody to go to uat.edu, learn about the University of Advancing Technology.
That's right, if you want to go in for art or programming, all that stuff.
Yeah, they do it all there. And they send you on trips across the country on Segways, so that's good.
Yeah.
I did that. Anyway, this is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Once again, we're going to talk about what Nate wanted to talk about. Hardware created by, you know, anybody
pretty much,
than the big three.
Yeah, anybody but, like, the big three, it's... You know, like with the N-Gage failure and the questionable standings of, like, the Gizmondo and the Phantom and the new handheld by Game Park. You know, can a company really, you know, make a successful
console?
Hang
on, you know the Game Park came out, like, 5 years ago, right?
I do know that. But they're coming out with a new one.
A new one. Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. Note my wording. And a new handheld.
Okay. I won't, I won't hold you back. Keep going.
All right. Now that I've lost my train of thought, I don't even know where I am anymore.
Keep going.
Anyways. Well, just can a company really make a successful, you know, console unless they have, you know, the big name standing already, you know, brought to you by, like, Nintendo and, you know, Xbox and, you know, Sony and stuff like that.
Okay, so are we talking particularly handhelds here? Or is that just because there's a bunch of those that have failed lately?
You know, handhelds, it's good, you know, it's... I don't really see handhelds and consoles are the same thing, you know. I mean... They're different, but they're, you know, similar as in they are, you know, a system that, you know, they're trying to sell. And I don't think there's a real big distinction when, you know, talking, at least on this topic, about the, you know, the changes and stuff like that.
I'll tell you why both would be difficult. All right.
Because
a console, compared to a handheld, much more difficult to produce because it's much more high tech, right? Stuff has to be small for the handheld, but it doesn't have to be as advanced. And it does have to be cheap, though. So anyway... Console, you got to be like way high tech, newest and best. So that's very difficult, and that's one of the things.
What about the Revolution? That's not going to be all that high tech.
It has a lot of high tech, just not in the console processing power.
All right. I'll give you that.
Okay, so it has to be the newest and the best. So that's hard to do unless you have tons of money for R&D and a lot of great ideas.
Well, you know, that brings up another, you know, question, you know, that I have is, you know, Microsoft was able to do it, but can any other company other than Microsoft that has the, you know, bottomless pockets where they can? Because Microsoft has only, I think they only made profit one quarter, and that was when Halo 2 came out. Other than that, they've always been in the red.
They were planning on being in the red for 5 years straight.
Yeah, but can any, you know, any other company really besides like them or like Sony say, we're not going to make any money for like the next 6 years?
No, I'm with you here. And so, no, I don't really think it's very easy for anyone to come in. And Sony is another one of those situations where they had already done some of the R&D because they were R&D, excuse me, and they were working with Nintendo, and then they produced the PlayStation after that when they realized, oh, maybe this is a good idea, right? And they have tons of money. But before that, I mean, you're looking at Sega and Nintendo, and that's it. Now, the console is different for another reason. It doesn't have to be as high-tech, but you're hitting a much smaller market with the console. I don't know about much smaller market. I haven't done the research here, folks. But I think there's more consoles, like full-fledged consoles, that are actually active than handhelds. Although handhelds have probably sold more because kids buy five of them because they keep breaking. But like a PlayStation. So you're hitting a wider audience with the console is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Which means, you know, when you finally sell it, there's more money to be made. So with the handhelds, you forgot one, like the Tapwave Zodiac had a it had a good run. And this was sort of merging. It was kind of like what Microsoft did, where they took a PC, put it in a box, and called it a console. Mm-hmm. Right? Tapwave took a Palm, existing technology, and like added a little piece and called it a video game machine. And it sort of almost worked. One thing that would have saved it was the Super Nintendo emulator, but it got shut down by Nintendo.
Yeah.
So this, though, is why the game park that you brought up has been marginally successful. Successful enough to warrant a new version.
It lends the emulation. But that company, you know, now they've kind of said that they don't really want to do that. So that's kind of, you know.
Did they? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I read it in the news. They were saying that, you know, they weren't too, you know, they weren't looking for that kind of, buzz. Because then, you know, maybe Nintendo and stuff would come after them, like, hey, you know.
Well, I think they're going to say that no matter what. But the good thing about it is they brought out basically what we all want. Like, we're talking about the Origami, right? The new Microsoft thing coming out, that ultra-portable PC.
Yep.
And
but that's not particularly a game system, though. They're not having it as
listen
that.
To my point here.
Okay.
My point is people are saying, like, it's just been the news about it's been revealed the last couple of weeks. And they're saying that basically this thing's going to be a glorified video player. And that makes sense to me. It's even a reasonable purpose. However, it's going to be put up by Microsoft, and it's going to have DRM up the yin-yang, and so you're only going to be able to look at certain types of video that were recorded in certain types of ways, and it's going to be annoying. It'll probably sell because people are going to buy that product because it's made by Microsoft, or it's not even made by Microsoft. The concept is put together by Microsoft. But the game part comes along and lets you do whatever you want. It doesn't have the limitations. You can play whatever kind of music on it, because you can write whatever kind of software on it, because you can emulate whatever you want, because people will build it. Because it's open, and it lets you do whatever you want. And that's why it's successful, because it's cheap hardware, straight out of Asia. You know, that's how it works. And so you get inexpensive hardware.
And sneakers.
Yeah. In a shell where you can do what you want. And the problem these days is that that's very difficult to accomplish. But you need to have tons and tons of money to make an attractive product for the American audience.
Yeah. Well, you know, another thing. Yeah, I can understand, like, the, you know, with the game park system there. But even with emulation, I think you're looking at even a smaller crowd, because, you know, you have the handhelds, you know, oh, let's get Timmy, you know, this, you know, handheld. But now you're going to say, you know, well, this one is great because you can emulate it. You know, who knows how to emulate besides, you know, even, you know, a smaller fraction of people.
But
I mean, I can understand your point why, you know, that one would be more, you know, successful. But I still think, you know, it's not going to do as great. You know.
Well, no. If they tried to release that thing here, it wouldn't have the appeal without lots of marketing and lots of actual good games.
Yeah.
But the beauty there is they could release hardware without games, right? And they were making money off the hardware.
True.
So, good for them, right? But a traditional system like your Game Boy or whatever, where you're going to have to make games just for it, you know, with cartridges, which aren't a standard type of memory, you know, that's going to be very difficult to do. Obviously, like you said, you need to have bottomless pockets, and I don't think it's a tough question to answer that no, you know. Unless you're Bill Gates, you're not gonna
come up with a new console. Like you and I, we're not gonna come up with the you know, the Chatterbox console, you know, next year.
My question to you though is, you know, what does that mean for the rest of us? Do we care?
Well, I guess my thing is, if we just have, you know, the big three or the big two, you know, however you know want to look at it. If you know the few people that are starting to, you know, discount Nintendo, you know, and there are those people out there. So don't look at me like that.
They're idiots.
Yeah. But anyways, you know, are we coming to the point where maybe they're becoming too placid? You know, thank God we have Nintendo, who is willing to, you know, go crazy just because and do all these weird things. But, you know, like we talked about, you know, Black and, you know, other games for, you know, maybe Sony or Xbox, they become very safe. You know, now are we looking, you know, they're only going to allow, you know, the safe games on their system.
That's what's bothersome. And, you know, that's another good thing that the game park allows, where you can build, people build their own software for it. But yeah, like, I would be upset to find out that, you know, the handheld consoles, let's say Nintendo and Sony decided, you know what, we're just not going to, We don't want to do it for whatever reason. Like, my enjoying video games is totally reliant upon other people believing that they can make money by selling me a video game, right? So the market could totally crash, and then I would be up a creek. I'd be done. And, I mean, that, I don't have to worry about that ever happening.
Well, even that, I mean, someone will fill that void. I mean, even in a, you know, even if you need deep pockets, but, I mean, something would happen. Someone would make something that you could use. See, I wouldn't mind something like that, because then we would get, you know, maybe indie developers making some, you know, maybe not the greatest stuff, but it would be new and inventive.
I would suspect you would simply move on to alcohol, my friend.
Or heroin. Whichever one comes first.
Heroin's good for you. It doesn't hurt you. Not like alcohol.
Nah.
All right. Andrew's telling me we gotta go. I can see it in his eyes. We will be back in just a minute, and I'm going to talk about what makes games good. Give us a call at 866-536-1100. We'll be right back. That's Zelda, everybody. I think it's Zelda.
Is it Zelda?
We are back. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
I am Nate.
And we are here for the second half of Chatterbox Video Game Radio here March 12th, 2006. You know, we're in our third year. We've talked about this before. This is the third month of our third year on the air. One of the longest running shows at KFNX. Is there a longer show than us, Andrew? No?
No.
We are number one? Yes? No?
Apparently we are.
Andrew refuses to talk on the air. He's like the mime behind the glass. See, now, Tracy, he used to talk on the air.
He used to talk all the time.
Yeah. We even got Kara to go on the air once. Andrew, no. Won't do it. All right. So it's my segment now. I'm taking over the airwaves, as they say. And I'm going to ask everybody to call me at 866-536-1100. Don't call Nate. He doesn't want to talk to you anyway. My question is, what makes a good game? Now, again, something we've talked about in the past, something we will talk about in the future. But I get reminded about this every so often. We play Black today. Well, I played Black and Nate watched, because that's how we do it.
That's how it works, usually when I show up and you're still playing.
Exactly. So. And here's what happens. I play this game that is very hyped, going to be a great thing, has a pretty cool commercial, and made by a company with a consistent record of quality titles in the past. And this title certainly has a level of quality. I'm not going to deny it that. But when
it
I played
looks
it...
very nice.
Well, with the exception of the glitchy bullet holes in
yes.
walls and chairs.
And
I can't understand how that got
guys
through.
Falling into racks.
Oh, yeah, we had one guy who actually, like, melded into a shelf.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I threw a grenade into a... This was one of the cool parts of the game. I threw a grenade into the building, right? And I didn't see the guy die because, of course, it was in a building. But, everybody's dead, right? And then we go in the building, and the guy is part of the shelf. It was fantastic.
He was more shelf than man.
Yeah, and that's... See... Physics and where people go, like, I can forgive that, but the bullet holes that you see in the very first room of the game, you see a bullet hole on a chair that's, you know, the graphic for the bullet hole is bigger than the chair itself. I'm very surprised that got through.
Or the bullet holes that are in air. Apparently you pierce the fabric of time. A little slip there.
Yeah. But again, I'll even let that go. The bottom line was that I was playing this game for 2 hours, and I'm just like, hey, I don't think this is fun. And that's where you have to draw the line. You say, you know, you don't have to analyze it. I don't have to tell you why I like this game or don't like the game, but you play through, a couple hours go by, and you realize, not that fun? There's a problem there.
Well, it's when, you know, when do games stop being fun, become work just to get finished with it?
Now, I think a lot of this has to do with how you play the game. Maybe my reserved nature might, you know, not go through the game with guns blazing, like, had something to do with it. Of course, I try not to die in the game so I can continue to play more, and so that might also have to do with my reserved nature, but... I thought it was a little bit strange that I wasn't feeling the fun, and that's why I have to go back and give it another chance, and I'll do that before next week, talk about it some more. But I definitely urge people to give it a try and then tell me what you think, too. But here's what I think. First of all, to decide what makes a game good, we have to talk about what makes it bad. And I've said very many times in the past that repetition is what kills a game for me. And it's why I always say that, you know, I could, for my list of what makes a game good... I could just say Mario games.
Well, in all honesty, it is a straight-up shooting game with not a lot of, you know... I mean, there's a plot, but you know what you're doing when you buy this game.
Yeah, but
you're
in this game,
around.
The environments are supposed to be what makes the game, right?
Yeah, and to be honest, they weren't all that destructible as I thought they would be.
Yeah,
know?
It was very much like, well, you can blow that stuff up if there's a gas tank near it.
Yep.
You know? But anyway, I'm going to go away from that and speak more generally. game that's not going to do well, for me anyway, is a repetitious game. Now, there are always exceptions to these rules. For instance, puzzle games.
Mm-hmm.
Puzzle game. They have a whole different list of requirements, though, to be good before you can allow that repetition to still be fun.
Or any of your rhythm games. Those also involve a lot of repetition.
I got to tell you, once you play through all the songs in a DDR game, whatever, not all that much motivation to go back and play anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Now, this is what I was talking about with Guitar Hero. Great game. I played through the normal level, then the hard level, then the expert level. It was good every single time. But the next, the sequel, whenever it comes and I play, more songs, I'm going to go right to expert, and it's going to be boring pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not boring. Still enjoy it, and I still am playing it.
But once you get through expert, no reason to play normal.
But yeah, the great part about that game is it was totally new, which is one of the things on my list that makes a game good, is newness. Is that
a word?
Newness.
Newness?
All right, so repetition, bad. And I think the opposite of that would be newness or randomness, right? Randomness and newness, two very different things for me. Grid Wars is a good example of randomness, where you have repetitious gameplay, but you have randomness in the game, which allow you to still enjoy it. But again, that's a game that has a lot of things going for it, like a puzzle game.
Well, again, it's easy to have randomness when you're like bringing it down to that level.
But when it's a game so simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you have games that have predictability and repetition, and then, see, this isn't really a factor of the game, but it overhyped. And that's one thing that I'm working with this black issue today. But predictability is a problem. When you know what's going to happen, it's no fun to do it.
Yeah.
Right? And then repetition is an issue. So games have tried to avoid this repetition and linearity by giving you, options, stems of or pathways that you can take, right? But when a game truly has options, like Grand Theft Auto has a lot of different ways.
Again, Grand Theft Auto was a little different case. It was more, there happened to be a game in this sandbox that you could play. Again, Grand Theft Auto was a little different case. It was more, there happened to be a game in this sandbox that you could play around in.
Yeah, and the sandbox part is what made it fun. Missions, I don't think anybody talked about the missions being that great. But there are games like Deus Ex tries to do this, where you have lots of different ways to complete something, but it still brings you back to the same point, where you have to get, you have to beat this particular guy to get over to the next world or next level or whatever it's like, right? So, but you have these options, and you can take on like the good or the bad, and that's why games have been successful lately, I think, the ones that let you be good or evil, because you have that option. You have different games within the game, and that's cool, and Fable does that too.
Yeah, they do. Although it's way too quick.
Yeah,
I'd think.
But then I can go to a game that you could say, well, what about Mario, right? Mario, once you play it through, you don't want to play it again. That's that's fair. I'm not a big fan of playing a game through twice or watching a movie twice or doing anything that I've already done. However, within the scope of, let's use Super Mario 64, which I've commonly said is the best game ever.
All right.
Within the scope of that game, there's not a lot of repetition. There's so many new things happening. You're constantly having, different style of gameplay where one, level you're sliding down a hill and you're trying to beat a penguin, right? Get to the star fastest. And then one level you're,
walking
around a bunch of lava.
Going around sand that's going to eat you.
And then there's the worlds where you're fighting people, but there's the worlds where you're exploring or you're flying or you're skiing. Well, you're not skiing, but you're sliding.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different gameplay. And control, I've always said, is number one. Because within a game, you're interfacing with the game, and the only way to interface is obviously through the control mechanism, the controller or whatever it is that you're using to control the game. Most commonly, a controller.
Yeah.
Right? If that's not tough, because you can do everything very easily, whereas a lot of other platformers, they don't really have that. And I think people got upset because you can do everything very easily, whereas a lot of other platformers, they don't really have that. And I think people got upset with the newest Mario Sunshine because the control
wasn't quite there.
Or it was too easy. I don't know. It depends. Some people didn't like 64 because you couldn't tell where you were going to jump in the 3D world and what you were going to do. And then they tried to fix that using the water blaster, making it easy to roam around. And that sort of took away from the game. So anyway, I do want to take a call.
So you're saying
here.
A challenge was lost?
A little bit of a challenge was lost in that game. I still enjoyed it, but people weren't as happy with it. And they liked the part that went back to like Mario 64 where you remember the bonus levels?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, in Mario Sunshine, where it was back to like the original Mario where you didn't have a jetpack anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That was like people's favorite part of the game.
All right.
I think they're going to take that to heart when they finally give us the next one whenever that happens.
So you're saying that a good game should have somewhat complicated controls, or should be challenging just to control your character?
No, not complicated.
Not complicated, but like challenging.
I think the game should be challenging. You still need to have perfect control of your character.
All right.
But if you...
Well, you're saying if it was too easy to control your character in like Mario.
Well, what happened is they gave such an acute level of control that it made the challenge of the game disappear.
All right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, I hear you.
Okay.
So I wasn't quite following you there for a second.
No, they made it too easy to make sure that you got on the block that you wanted to get on. And Mario from the very beginning has been about, you know, there's been a little bit of challenge in doing what you wanted to do. In the early days, it was such a simple game that the challenge of getting on the little tiny block when there was a bunch of air around it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that made the game. Can you do it or can you not do it? Right? And then later on, in 3D, introduced a whole, you know, slew of other problems and difficulties.
Yeah.
Which is great. But when they tried to fix that, they took it away. They did the same thing with the princess in Mario 2. Right? Always use the princess because it's super easy to get where you want.
Oh, yeah, because she just flies.
She floats.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. I think we have time for a caller. We've got Jeff waiting on the line, so I'm going to bring Jeff in here. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hey.
You're there, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking about...
Andrew kicked me off.
No, we got it. He's doing what he's supposed to do. So I'm talking about what makes games good and or bad, right? And you have something to say about this?
Well, what I've been noticing lately is that the companies are just coming out with the same crap, better graphics, maybe a couple new things added in, just like extra features.
So you're...
Like maybe they're taking away from... It's more making it look pretty than actual gameplay?
I think he's saying it lacks newness.
Newness?
Yes.
This is what I was saying before. Right? So give me an example of that.
Well, like the GTAs and the GTA clones. Or, as they've been talking about in IRC, Body Harvest.
Yes. I see what you're saying. And we were talking about... Now, see Grand Theft Auto by itself? Cool. When you get to the third one... Or the third one of this style, right? Grand Theft Auto 3 and San Andreas, whatever. Starts to lose its flair.
Yeah.
Because the newness is gone. And because, you know, what I'm looking for in a video game is something that I can't get in real life. Something that I haven't done before. At least with me. Listen, maybe other people like playing the same game 3 times, but not me. And I think a lot of other people agree with me. So, I see what you're saying. Anything else you wanted to comment on?
Well, also... The few games that actually do things original, they never sell well, like Ico or however the heck you pronounce that.
I think technically it's Ico, but I gotta tell you, I think that game did pretty well. Although recently the creator said it's not a game.
Yeah.
I read that headline, I didn't read the story, so I don't know if he really said
that. I'm not quite sure what he meant
by that. To be sensationalizing.
But I know Shadow Colossus, that did very well. That was, I don't know, the kind of, not the, you know, sequel, but it was made by the same company, has this kind of same
feel. It was made by the same two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you're right about that. And I think that's an issue of marketing. And that's okay, right? But it also is an issue of Americanism, where we like to get the same thing over and over. At least that's what our dollars
just
tell,
slightly different.
Tell the accountants. Because when we buy the same thing over and over, it tells them we want the same thing over and over. So you can always fight that power with your dollar. What was the last game you bought, Jeff?
Last game I bought was actually GT4 after my big thing in New York. You've heard about it.
Yeah. So you got Grand Theft Auto 4 or Gran Turismo 4?
Gran Turismo 4.
Okay.
And yes, I know.
That, of course, is the fourth one in a series, Jeff.
Yes. It's the same thing over and over, but I was expecting online play.
Whoa. You bought it thinking there was online play?
No. I was expecting online play and didn't get it new beforehand. But,
all right. So am I supposed to consider you a... An enlightened listener, Jeff? What are you telling me here? You don't like having the same game over and over. You don't like games without online play when you expect them to have online play, but you pay for them anyway?
No, I expected there to be, number one, I just like the GT franchise.
I'm not going to fault you for liking the game, but so far you've told me reasons not to buy it, yet that you bought it.
Well, it's a good game. It's just the same thing over and over.
Yeah. People playing racing games are looking for that, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just a racing game, you know.
Hey, I just got my hands on Project Gotham 3. I know what it's like. No, I got it cheaply, but whatever.
Yeah.
But the changing subjects, the next game I'm planning to buy is Kingdom Hearts 2.
Okay.
Which they're adding more than you'd averagely see in a sequel.
Yeah, listen, not all sequels are bad. You get Kingdom Hearts 2, I think a lot of that is about the story, the environment... what's the word I'm looking for?
Meeting Disney characters.
Immersion. Right.
Yeah.
You're going to get that with Kingdom Hearts 2, especially because, you know, the first one was of such high quality that the second one comes around and you're going to be in new worlds, and that's what you play the game for, because you want to see these worlds brought to life, and that's okay. Of course, if they bring out 3 and 4 and 5, they're gonna run out of worlds to create, and then I think it's going to start being boring again.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, it probably will. Just look at Final Fantasy.
Yeah, well, see, I was just talking to someone the other day. I don't even remember. I think this was Atheistium. She was saying the great thing about Final Fantasy is that it's a different story every time. And if it were the same world over and over and over, I don't think they could pull it off. Did you hear, by the way, this Famitsu gave Final Fantasy XII a 40 out of a 40?
What?
Did you read about this? All I've heard so far from real people who've played the demos at the shows and stuff, everyone I know, every friend I have that's played it said, Final Fantasy XII is crap. It's a horrible game. They changed the system. It's bad stuff. And to me, when they tell me how they changed the system, it sounds better to me because I prefer action games. But they say it's crap. Famitsu, perfect score. Like, 3 games have gotten a perfect score in the history of that magazine.
Really?
Very highly respected Japanese magazine. Listen, thanks for calling in, Jeff. I appreciate it very much. We're going to be back with the news right after this. No Smart Attack this week. He's off in New York or something.
Oh,
we'll be back after this. Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio, everybody. My name's Zero Plus, and this is Nate.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. IRC, they were telling me I should say my own name, and I got confused with the guy who said I should say my name. Anyway, I'm Alon, and this is Nate. And we want to remind everybody to go to UAT. UAT.edu, University of Advancing Technology. Good place to go to school once you're done with high school, because high school was boring. College is a lot more exciting.
That's right.
You can do what you want. You can make your games. You can make your games artsy.
Yep, Alon did it. I'm doing it.
Yes.
So you should do it too.
I totally scammed that place, man.
Really?
Drove across the country on behind a Segway.
Behind a Segway?
Yeah, for a whole semester. It was fantastic.
I'm sure it was.
You come up with a good project, they treat you very well. And there's a lot of people doing that and making mods over at UAT.
Yes.
One of these days we'll have a mod group in here to tell us about what it is that they actually make. We've done it before, actually, at least with people from the school. I don't know if we've talked about a school-sponsored mod. Anyway, good place, uat.edu. Now it's time for news. We don't have our smart attack this week. Nathan...
He's doing something with his robot girlfriend.
The last couple weeks have been rough. We almost fire him, or he leaves, and then I get his girlfriend, but it's a robot. I've lost track of what's going on these days.
Yeah, it's not good.
But it's good, because it leaves us more time for the actual news. So, Nate, take it away.
All right, well... A gaming startup, Bigfoot Networks, they're trying to eliminate lag with about $4 million.
I heard about this.
So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure how they're going to do it, but apparently with a network gaming accelerator, you too cannot have lag.
Well, you understand, what you do is you wrap the fiber optic cables in dollar bills.
Oh, is that how it works?
And the light travels faster.
Oh, I thought you put little flames on the wires.
You draw the flames on the outside. Yeah, no, that'll do it too, either way. But the paint for the flames costs money.
Okay.
So eventually, $4 million should solve the problem.
All right. Well, it's still, I don't know, fuzzy on exactly how it's going to work. They're going to be at E3. So hopefully, maybe you and I will be there. And
we'll be able to test it. We'll simulate a network by having a computer of theirs and then a computer of ours linked with a cable. And we'll see if they can produce faster results than the internet.
There we go.
Maybe it'll work.
Who knows?
This is a real company, everybody.
It is a real company. Yeah. It's started by an MBA student. So...
Okay, well, listen, maybe they can predict what button I'm going to press.
Maybe.
And have it happen before I actually send that information to them.
They're going to know what you're playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's how good they are. China, known for their union ways and whatnot, deciding to boycott WoW, or at least they're in the talks of that.
Is that because it's an American game?
No, unstable servers and long queue times. I don't know. I'll explain to Lon because he's giving this funny look.
Who is it that's boycotting it? It doesn't sound like it's the Chinese government to me.
Not the Chinese government. Chinese players.
Okay.
I just thought it was funny because, they're not really known for,
I bet you the connections would be better if they used the lag-preventing machine.
Maybe once, Bigfoot Networks gets their up and running, China will not have a problem anymore.
Yeah.
But anyways, they're threatening to, cut all ties with WoW being unstable servers, long queue times to get onto servers, and when, you know, all your life consists of is picking, you know, rice. You know, you need a gateway.
Man, that's like the second time you've said that.
I like to say that one of these days, you know, someone's going to come up and stab me. But
we are going to get boycotted. And if we lose all of our Chinese listeners, let me tell you, we are off the air.
We're gone.
I actually want to get back to this network accelerator thing.
All right, go for it.
It's not actually that crazy an idea. I didn't read about their technology per se because I don't think they're talking about it. But if you know anything about, or if you paid attention to Bungie, they've discussed how they built their Halo 2 code, and it has a lot of, like, a prediction engine, right? And I have a feeling that this lag-reducing thing is going to be, like, a standard prediction tuner.
From what they say, I guess a lot of... They want to host a lot of the processes on, like, their own servers, so it's not actually brought onto your computer. Not sure how they're going to do that. But, again, you know, we go to E3, we can ask these questions.
Yeah, we can. But what I was saying is, like, the code in Halo allows you... In Halo 2 Online, anyway... allows you to the machine, I mean, will predict like what's going to happen, and so it simulates a lack of lag and isn't really
so if you play really randomly, you're going to be really angry.
Yeah, like if you start doing weird stuff. I don't think it's something you can do like on purpose, but basically like you throw a grenade and it predicts where the grenade's going to be, you know, in a couple seconds, and so it shows it. You just get the instruction that, hey, someone threw a grenade, and I don't know, it's a lot more complicated than that.
I'm sure
the grenade throwing thing.
Okay.
But anyway, they had a lot of prediction in there, so they can make it look like it's seamless, or try.
I don't know, this just seems like it's a lot of talk, and like we're going to do great things, but you know, nothing's really going to
It's a phantom game console.
Yeah.
All right, don't let me stop you. Keep going.
All right, so you know we talked a few weeks ago about how you don't really care. We shouldn't, you know, we're really worried about this game legislation or anything like that anymore. You know, we should just forget about it, you know.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to do it.
Don't pay any attention.
So this came out a while ago, but it's kind of it got past some of these committees into the Senate. But the Children and Media Research Advancement Act, CAMRA, I believe.
I was listening to you say it. It's like that's got to be an acronym.
Yeah.
Okay.
So CAMRA would be.
You know what I do with children and cameras?
I don't want to know.
Okay, keep going.
I think it would be illegal. What they want to conduct would be conducted by the Center of Disease Control, the CDC, another acronym for you. The bill was passed by the Senate Committee of Health, Education, Labor, Pensions.
Would you get on with it? What bill?
Okay, so basically they're going to do a study. It's not a bill. They're doing a study of finding out why games are bad for people, or if they are. And the thing is, if this goes through... Another thing, it's going to cost about $90 million, which I like. They're going to study how games affect people for $90
million. Let's be clear, $90 million, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, they want the scientific proof that shows games are harmful so that later on, when more legislation happens, they can say, hey, look at this thing, it shows they're harmful,
yeah,
because the reason it keeps getting overthrown...
Well, then they're going to, you know, then I can totally see calls for, you know, regulation, you know, for a free speech because it could be potential harm to our children.
Yeah.
So, don't make video games anymore.
They're trying to get research together so they can prove it's harmful,
and
so that more things in the future will be successful.
The good state of Tennessee trying to ban violent video games.
Yeah, I want
to
hear more about that.
That's a new one.
You mentioned that to me, but I haven't read the
I can
bit.
Talk about that next week because it does seem like we're out of time.
Most important news bit I saw this week was Stardock, the maker of Galactic Civilizations 2. They had this big thing about, hey, you know what? We don't have copyright protection on our game because we want people to be able to play the game. And you should go to Stardock or wherever their stuff is. We got to go. We'll be back next week, everybody.
Well, I'm going to download that game tonight.
Yeah,
see
how
it is.
Thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.